FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is November 26, 2018. Well, Bitcoin is hitting new multi-year lows. When I looked earlier in the day, it was at 3661. Last time I looked, 3700. Hey, I called the low 3880, roughly, well, almost a year to the day when it started crashing. And here we are. It's lost 80% of its value. Well, here's a good friend of the show's, Taylor Letterman from simplertrading.com. Taylor, welcome back. Hey, first, before we get started, as always, email us any questions or comments. We answer all. If it's a good enough email, we'll even read it on the show or maybe have you on as a guest. The email address for future reference, kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, Taylor, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so cryptocurrencies, is there life after Bitcoin?
That's what we're hoping for right now. Watching Bitcoin drop this far has been kind of seeping some despair into the market. Everyone's kind of, of course, freaking out, trying to figure out why they didn't sell at 20,000 or 15,000 still.
Okay. Because they didn't read my warning, because I told people, sell half your Bitcoin. I wrote the newsletter on December 16th. It was published on December 17th of last year that it had peaked and that it was time to sell half your Bitcoin. Hold on to the rest. But how many people do you think listened to me, Taylor?
I would think very few. Right, that was right at sort of the peak of the retail mania, like everyone entering the space for the first time. And Bitcoin just kept going for a little bit, and then we haven't seen new highs since.
And here we are. It's almost a year later since the crash. It's lost 80% of its high from the peak. Now, to be fair, peaks aren't really fair to measure from because very few people actually buy into these peaks. But by any measure, Taylor, Bitcoin has taken it on the chin. The number of transactions taking place per day is just under 200,000 per day, down from over 500,000 at the peak. So I guess the love affair with Bitcoin at the very best is on hiatus. At the worst, it's over.
Yeah, we're definitely in sort of the point of the market where everyone's beginning to exit if they haven't already. We're seeing kind of a push to safer investments across not just Bitcoin, but other asset classes. And we're going to hopefully see this one kind of ride out at some point. I think we still have 3 in a year at minimum bear market. In the first couple of months of next year, we'll continue to see Bitcoin kind of reach for lower lows before any kind of rally is sort of expected.
Yeah. And so in the meantime, there's a million other cryptocurrencies. Some of them are even kleptocurrencies. Where does this leave the crypto, so-called cryptocurrency space? They're not really currencies, but for lack of a better term, we'll stick with it.
Yeah, I refer to many of them as just projects. They're still not quite a business, not quite a decentralized asset yet. But many of them raised money in 2016, 2017, and of course this past year with the ICO, the increase in ICOs, but we're probably going to start seeing many of those projects run out of funds. They're not going to be able to pay their developers, they're not going to be able to pay for ads or marketing to bring on users. So most of them will go to zero. They'll abandon their projects at some point, and this is where we really see sort of the thinning of the herd, and what will be left will be able to survive into the next bull run.
And that thinning of the herd can't come soon enough. I mean, the thing was a bubble. I knew it at the time because I've seen enough charts, studied enough bubbles to know a bubble when I see it. you know, sometimes there's a difference between what's just an overvalued market and a bubble, meaning a market could have been rising for years at not so geometric rates of progression, and then it just hits the level where it just can't sustain a higher valuation, and then it just goes down. Here, classic bubble, no one can look back now and say it wasn't a bubble, can you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, from seeing just a year ago, about the time Bitcoin was rising up quickly in price, and now seeing where we're at right now, there's definitely sort of despair. People are wishing, and people told them it was a bubble, that they listened and didn't just hold on to their Bitcoin. But it's just been a very strong undercurrent in the crypto space is holding for the long term. So many people hold on despite losses. And that's okay if it's a small portion of the portfolio, but many people try to use crypto as a get-rich-quick scheme, just trying to get in, make a bunch of money, and then get out. And that was the case in November, December of last year. And now those people are definitely hurting.
Yeah, so how much is a cryptocurrency programmer getting these days? I know last year they could write their own ticket, blockchain programmer, $250K minimum if you could play chopsticks with your Bitcoin. But for really skilled guys, the sky was the limit. Is that the case any longer?
I really don't think the developers will be hurting in this case because many of them will have opportunity at more enterprise companies, JP Morgan, IBM. They're also heavily invested in cryptocurrency. They still see that blockchain has a future, very strong technology into the future. But in terms of the crypto space with the assets and tokens, those developers that ICO'd will probably be looking for new jobs soon. So we'll see the markets kind of be diversity kind of continue to change over to the more enterprise level developers.
Hey, I just remember being at the North American Bitcoin conference in Miami last year, and there was a lot of smug and people who were very full of themselves, you know, masters of the aspiring universe there. And what a difference a year makes, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. From the traders driving Lambos, that's been a big thing in crypto, is trading and then buying an expensive car. But now I'm sure those people are underwater on the car and underwater on the Bitcoin.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt. But I am going to go back to the conference so I can gloat. I'm not really the gloating type, but somebody has to cover it. I wonder if they'll be able to get $500 a ticket again, and if they'll get 5,000 people to show up this year. Actually, they said 4,000 people. That's a couple $1 million they got worth of tickets there. I don't think they're going to do so well this year. Do you?
No, absolutely not. I think crypto conferences definitely went on the decline back in March. We started seeing fewer, and then they were also, if you saw any videos in any of those conferences, the seats were practically empty.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, I think I'm going to be in Vancouver for around then. Actually, looking at real money, like things like gold and silver. I know nobody can relate to that, but maybe my feeling is that cryptocurrencies won't go up again until gold and silver do. Gold and silver will lead them this time, and you know, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you there. I think everyone's kind of looking for a safe haven for investment right now across all market assets.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you can't put it in cryptos and you can't put it in the stock market, where are you going to put it?
I guess you got to invest in yourself, become a blockchain developer, or put it in gold, silver. I think at some point, we'll see Bitcoin drop down low enough that I think it becomes more value-based investment. At a point in the future, but right now it's hard to buy.
Well, I was thinking of buying some Ripple just so I could say I once owned it. I once owned Ripple once upon a time.
Sure.
Yeah, this is what happens when markets get out of balance here. And it's very easy in this day and age with the amount of money that is spread around here. You know, there's trillions of dollars just looking for the next new thing, and then they stumble upon a Bitcoin or something else, and it took a while, but a mania ensues, and a lot of people put a lot of money in and lose their money, and then what? So You know, it's really kind of shocking. So
yeah, I think I'm going back to what you said about Ripple. I think it's been actually very interesting lately because Ripple is dealing with Swift payments and trying to make that process obsolete between banks. So transferring and settling transactions between large banks. Ripple is actually doing a very good job of partnering with big banks, and it's kind of decoupled itself from Bitcoin. It's kind of making its own moves, whether Bitcoin's going up or down. So it's something interesting watching the space of Ripple.
Yeah, so Ripple, you think? But if one of them, if Bitcoin can't go up, how are the others going to go up?
So sort of, then that's the thing, is the overall market sentiment is still very strong. Bitcoin is the leader. But if you're in the space and you're trading rather than investing at the moment, again, we're still expecting more downside in the whole crypto market.
Yeah.
If you're trading it, Ripple does present some opportunities and will continue to grow and develop. I don't think that's one of the ones that I mentioned will run out of money or have to thin out their developers.
Yeah. So the whole thing is just kind of otherworldly here. I mean, look, there's been dozens of bubbles since Tulip Mania in multiple different investment areas, stock markets, land, I mean, you name it, corporate shares, just it keeps on going and going. And that's why at this point, it really is pretty simple to identify a bubble like a cryptocurrency. Not hard. And the thing about Bitcoin is it had multiple bubbles leading up to this with multiple crashes. And yet, how could anybody say that this time was really going to be different?
Sure. I think the disciplined investor step away from the table when they're winning.
Yeah. Well, hey, you don't even have to step all the way away. All you got to do is sell half of it, right? You know, when you've got such a run like people have had hundreds of times their money, I mean, these Bitcoin billionaires are now Bitcoin deca millionaires or 100 millionaires. They're not so full of themselves. I'm sure the Lamborghini dealers are really... really feeling the pinch here because there were thousands.
You think they're
hurting? Yeah, I think the Bitcoin guys might be looking to sell their Lambos back at a steep discount.
Sure, yeah, and then wait for the bottom or find something else to trade. But I think crypto is kind of there's still more room to go down. So I don't think anyone's stepping in just yet.
Yeah, agreed. And I don't know how much further they're going to go down from here. I think 80% is a pretty good low point, but if it's a systemic issue, you could easily see it go down to 1900 and maybe sub 1000 again. You know, there's just no demand there justifying 20,000 a Bitcoin. And hey, to be honest, I knew this was going to happen. Didn't know when. I didn't think it was going to be that fast. And the fact that I picked that day, it could have gone up another $5,000. Per coin, and I would have stuck by my prediction. It just was fortuitous because, you know, that 80% retracement on a bubble, not at all unusual. It could go to 95%, especially at least tulips. You could plant them and they grow nice flowers. They take a few years to do it. But I don't see any market for Bitcoin other than as a so-called currency. And it's not a medium of exchange. It's not even a store of value. We figured that out. It's a way to send money and launder money if you live in China. And really, it's only as good as the market out there for it. And for now, the market's exhausted. So in any event, it's a problem when you see that. Who would think that Bitcoin and the stock market would be declining at the same time? But we don't know if the stock market is crashing yet. We don't know if it's going to lose 60, 70% of its value, which in a mature market, in a bear market, you could see a market take a 60, 70% hit. We've seen it before. We don't know that that's going to happen. The last word on the stock market hasn't been written yet, but perhaps it's better to own Apple than Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think we're now looking for less riskier investments, especially something as speculative as crypto would be a many investors' favor, including, I mean, that's what I'm looking for right now is kind of seeing where the rest of the market is going and trying to take a portion of that out of the crypto space.
Yep. Well, when you see something take as big a hit as Bitcoin, it's at the very least, if it's going to recover, it's going to take a while. It's just not going back up like, you know, like it never happened, right? I mean, there's technical damage to the price that has to be repaired over time.
Sure. And then we'll have many levels of resistance overhead right now. You mentioned 1900 being a level that potentially buy at, but that's what we're seeing as well, as well as 1900 being the next level of really strong support for the market. So buying that level and a break below 3000 really opens up maybe a little rally, relief rally at some point in the future.
So at your outfit, simplertrading.com, I mean, you deal with human nature, you deal with emotions, right?
Yep, that's all the market is.
Yeah. So why wouldn't somebody take profits? They bought it, let's say at 1,000 or 3,000, and it went up to 19,000. What would stop you from taking a profit?
I think a lot of people that are hurting were actually never traded prior. They may invest in some stocks, but not something as volatile and illiquid as Bitcoin or any other crypto. And then they were just seeing it right up and kept reassuring themselves, trying to have a positive outlook that, hey, it's going to keep going up. This is the future. This is the technology. This is what the internet was well before the internet was what it is today. And they're trying to compare that and see the impact crypto will have, similar to how the internet has impacted our day-to-day lives. But it's not there yet. It's still early in the adoption cycle. People are going to sell now at the bottom, and institutions are going to step in, buy a majority up, and then start bringing people back into the crypto space a year or two from now.
Well, from your mouth to God's ear, I can safely say that I sold most of my Bitcoin on that date when I told everybody else to sell it. Not that you should listen to me. I'm not a Pied Piper, but you know, sometimes experience triumphs over ignorance and youthful exuberance. And this was clearly one of those times. And I don't get any great schadenfreude from people's misery, their investment losses. But I've done it myself too. Dot-coms were a perfect bubble. You know, that really followed bubble-like trajectory, bubble-like, you know, behavior in so many ways. And then I watched precious metals go up, basically go up 9.5 times in a decade. So bubbles can take some time building, not classic bubble behavior, but a little bubblicious at the top, and watch them go down, although not like an utter decimation like you're seeing in Bitcoin. God forbid anybody that had futures and then weren't on the short side. But, you know, we see this over and over again. There's nothing new under the sun, but that's what you try to help us work with at simplertrading.com. Just tell us about the company and how it works.
Sure thing, yeah. So we trade many assets, from stocks, trade options, heavily futures, forex as well, and then cryptos. One of the legs of the company is that I work in, and we primarily trading. We're not necessarily looking for long-term investments, especially at the moment in the market, but just opening up some opportunities both on the long and short side of Bitcoin and many of the major altcoins right now. So we're there to help along the way, teach, explain what's happening in the market, and kind of decipher what's actually happening, so we all kind of get a better understanding of how we should be trading it.
Yeah. Hey, well, that's a good thing. A noble cause for sure. Hey, questions, comments, just email us kl@kerrylutz.com, Twitter feed @KerryLutz. The Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. If you're listening to us on that wonderful medium of ideas called YouTube, then please like, share, and subscribe. Hey, appreciate your coming on with us, Taylor, and good luck. Let's see what happens next, all right?
All right.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.